There have been more than 400 school shootings since Columbine in 1999. That's according to an analysis that was done by the Washington Post. And in the wake of those shootings, an industry has certainly emerged to try and protect schools. And let me tell you, business is booming. According to a market research firm, the school security industry is now worth as much as $4 billion. And it's projected to keep on growing. And following the assassination of Charlie Kirk last week on a college campus, you betcha the conversation is back. And we're talking school security. And to discuss this, we've got former FBI agent and lecturer at the University of New Haven, Ken Gray, who is back. Ken, this happens obviously every time we see a tragedy happen. I think with the Charlie Kirk assassination, though, there were a lot of factors in that. Where, you know, certainly even on a college campus, and the openness and the lack of security, or, you know, that, I guess, format that is pretty common for college campuses, that's come into question. What can you say about this?
Sure. So in this particular case, with the Charlie Kirk assassination, there was security at the campus, but the security at campus for that event was in no ways sufficient to provide a safe environment there. They had over 3,000 students that were attending that event, and people were coming from outside the campus for that event. The shooter in that particular case, Tyler Robinson, got on top of one of the buildings, so he would have been outside the security perimeter anyway. But nonetheless, outdoor events are insecure by their very nature. I think that we will see a lot of future events that rally held indoors as opposed to outdoors, because you can control the environment much easier than you can for an outdoor venue.
I mean, and even the hours, days after what happened to Charlie Kirk, we saw some pretty scary situations happen in colleges across the country. There were several lockdowns. There was an incident at the Naval Academy, right?
That's right. So there were at least five historically black colleges and universities that received threats, unspecified threats. They chose to lock down or evacuate their campuses. It varied from campus to campus. And then later that day, there was a rumor at the U.S. Naval Academy that there was a student that had been expelled that was going door to door shooting other midshipmen, and so they locked that place down. And then one of the midshipmen mistook security going through the dormitory area as potentially the gunman, and tried to attack him and ended up being shot. And so that midshipman was airlifted out of the Naval Academy is in stable condition. So, you know, it's unfortunate that that should happen in an environment where, with colleges and universities, they're usually far safer than the cities that they exist in. But nonetheless, this does happen on college campuses. And as you pointed out, this becomes an ever-growing industry to try to provide technological solutions to that problem.
So we've got Ken Gray here, who is a former FBI agent, also lecturer over at the University of New Haven. Ken, some of the things that I've learned about with, you know, getting away from even college campuses, but even looking at just, you know, K through 12 schools, I know some things that have been incorporated in Connecticut I've learned is drone activity. I've heard of AI technologies, different badges with panic buttons on them. I mean, talk a little bit about, from your understanding, what have been some of the, I'd say, because, you know, everybody, you know, could have a school security guard. That's certainly common knowledge, and bulletproof glass. But I want to say, in recent years, I have been learning, just from my role as a journalist, about a lot of different technologies that police and even schools have been equipped with now to feel more secure.
Yeah. Some systems offer services that monitor cameras on board the school or campus, and then use AI to try to detect a threat, such as a gun, a rifle. And if that is detected, they then notify both law enforcement and they notify the school and tell them to go on lockdown. And so the AI is being incorporated into video systems to be able to make that that early warning that there may be a threat on campus. In addition to that, as you pointed out, drones, some companies are actually selling a drone system that in the event that there is a threat on campus, that they launch their drones and the drones move towards the threat. Some of these drones actually are equipped like with pepper spray. Others are there just simply to monitor the presence and track the person as they move around throughout the facility. And so this is a constantly evolving technology to try to meet this threat, some of which, in my opinion, is somewhat questionable. The drones that are equipped with weapon systems, that I'm not sure we are ready for that, even if the weapon system is simply that of, pepper spray. I'm not sure I want AI to be running that at this point.
Mm. Yeah, I would have a couple reservations about that as well. We're chatting with Ken Gray, who's a former FBI agent and currently a lecturer over at the University of New Haven. And we're talking about security in the wake of the assassination of Charlie Kirk and certainly the hundreds of school shootings that have taken place. Ironically enough, on the same day of his assassination, there was a school shooting at a Colorado high school. So, you know, Ken, it's interesting. I think you heard the conversation I had last week with Congressman Jim Himes, and he was talking about how, sure, we could continue to budget money, and we probably will, to protect our lawmakers, those who are being threatened, because we're seeing certainly an uptick in political violence, politically driven violence. But the thing I gave kind of a caveat back to him was, okay, well, what about like you and me? What about the people who don't have clout, if you will? We are not lawmakers. We're not politicians, but we have a voice and we're out in public and people are upset for the littlest things, or if they don't politically or religiously or whatever agree with you, and that this is becoming more of the normal reaction. And there's not really an answer. The question I said to him was, to what end? So that's fine. So you guys have coverage, you know, maybe at your homes, maybe on Capitol Hill. But like, what about the everyday citizens? And I didn't know if you sort of even, you know, could weigh in on that conversation I was having with Congressman Himes on the show.
I think that we are seeing at this point in America that is politically divided. And because it is politically divided, you have people on the extreme ends who believe that that they are justified in committing acts of violence to further their interests and to get over the opposite side. It's almost as if everybody is starting to believe this is more of a football game than it is actual honest to goodness life or death matters.
Mm.
And so they're rooting for their own teams. And you see this after the Charlie Kirk assassination, is that there have been some that have taken to the internet, cheering against him, cheering for the fact that he was assassinated because they see this as a victory for their side.
It's disgusting.
So I think that it's disgusting, and I think that the level of violence you see is a result of this change in attitude towards violence being justified to further political goals. It's a very distressing turn of events here.
Mm. It's interesting, Ken, because I was having this conversation. Obviously, everybody is talking and has been. You know, I think Charlie Kirk's death was arguably one of the most egregious that we've seen in a very long time. But I think these have been ongoing conversations really in the past couple of years. You know, yeah, the nation's so divided. Why are we so divided? And the thing that I always say is we've always been divided. Okay, like there's always been Democrats and Republicans. There's always been one side or another. There's that's always existed. I mean, there wouldn't have been the phrase, you know, don't talk about politics or religion at the dinner table if we weren't divided. That's always been the case. I think the changing factor here is the amount of hate that is created because we are getting access to so much information at such a quick amount of time. I don't know if we were created to take in everything that comes on social media and on our mainstream media and in word of mouth and in chats. You know what I'm saying? That to me is the difference. So it's not the fact that we're divided. I think it's the fact because we've always been that way. And there was a tolerance there. I mean, people are not friends with people they've been with for years because of their political beliefs. It's not like those beliefs just popped up. They've been that way. Maybe they've gotten stronger. But to me, it's social media. And that's the part that I'm wondering from your perspective. Now you're talking about, you know, having a better stronghold on I think, the media, the web, really.
Sure. So you mentioned the word that I think is the key here is that is tolerance. And the father of the new left, the guy by the name of Herbert Marcuse, came up with this concept that political intolerance, and that is that you should not allow a person to be able to express an opinion you disagree with. You hear it commonly referred to as punch a Nazi. That is, you don't want to give them the room to be able to express these ideas that you disagree with that are against your own beliefs. And so I think it has justified the use of violence in order to provide safe space for your ideas and to deny a space to be able to discuss opposing points of view. Mm. But there's no doubt that social media is certainly assisting this to go forward in that it's providing a forum for people to be constantly putting out their ideas, saying things that they would not necessarily say to you in person, but because of the anonymity afforded by social media, you can express all kinds of extreme views that are not civil in its nature.
Mm-hmm. I also think, too, we've, you know, speaking of intolerance, Ken, I think we've gotten to a point where we also just are not listening. You know, I think we're also just if you hear somebody who, you know, I'll throw myself under the bus. I don't care. My listeners know me well enough by now. But, you know, so I have said before that I don't, you know, I don't personally believe that abortion is something the government should get involved with. Quite frankly, I think that is something between you and your doctor. I think that is a personal thing. While I am a very religious person, that is something I disagree with the church. Again, that's just my own belief, not putting that on anybody else. So immediately when I say that, it's like, oh, well, then you must be a liberal. But then in the same sentence, I could tell you that I cried for 3 days straight at the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I happen to have really liked Charlie Kirk. So now I must be a MAGA. You know what I mean? You can't say anything without people just putting you into a bucket either. You know, so yeah. It's so frustrating that I think the average person who is not an extremist, but is just living in the world and reacting, they can't do that freely without being judged, canceled, what have you. That's also the culture we live in. And I don't know if we've lived in a culture like that prior to now.
So John Stuart Mill wrote a book in the 1850, I believe it was, called On Liberty. And he was concerned about what he called the tyranny of the masses. And so John Stuart Mill was an advocate for freedom of speech. In fact, the Speaker's Corner is named after him there in London. And so he thought it was very important for people to be able to discuss their ideas and that in a civil, open debate, you could arrive at the truth by people exchanging information and defending their points of view. We've gotten away from that. Mm-hmm. We no longer have the ability to discuss things civilly because everybody is choosing up a side. And by being on that side, you have to be totally committed to your point of view.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And I think it's broken politics and certainly relationships, even just in everyday lives. That's why people aren't friends or families are breaking apart. I mean, it's really quite it's quite amazing to see what is happening. And Ken Gray, I appreciate you always having these types of conversations, certainly on security. You know, you get it. And I just love that we can have these open forum conversations here on the air. So thank you so much for giving us the time always.
Anytime, Melissa.
All right. Former FBI agent, UNH lecturer Ken Gray here on WICC.